Welcome to Spears and Ali on ESPN Tucson.
Justin Spears, I like that.
With Justin Spears and Ali Farhang on 1490 AM, 94.9 HD Channel 4, ESPN Tucson. Brought to you by Tucson Federal Credit Union, the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans, and Right Way Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
I want to be entertaining, but I'm not stupid enough to compare myself to Ali.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to another episode of Spears and Ali. I'm your host, Justin Spears. My guy, Ali Farhang's got the day off today. Over the next couple of hours, we're going to be talking all things Arizona Wildcats athletics. If you want to hop on the show with us, feel free to do so by calling in at 719-1490, 719-1490. Spears and Ali presented by Tucson Federal Credit Union, Right Way Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, and the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans. All right, here's our guest lineup for today. At 8:40, we're going to talk with Sean Paul from Field of 68 about last night's big-time Big 12 game between the Kansas Jayhawks and the Texas Tech Red Raiders, with Kansas just getting absolutely clobbered by nearly 30 points. Bill Self even getting ejected from the game. Yeah, Kansas got housed by Texas Tech, losing by 29 points. Man. It was not a pretty performance by the Jayhawks.
This ain't Kansas anymore.
No, it is not. And, hey, I'm telling you what, Arizona basketball fans, get ready. Get ready. Like, this is a preview of what's to come when Arizona goes to the Big 12. Those days of just going up to the Bay Area, I mean, I know this year they lost by 18 to Stanford, but we have seen in recent years Arizona goes up to the Bay Area, or they go up to Washington State or Oregon State and just beat these teams by 30 points. You know, Arizona, they're going to have their moments where they clobber some teams in the Big 12, but it is going to be very tough at McHale Center and certainly on the road. You thought winning road games in conference play was hard this year. Imagine when Arizona's got to go to Texas Tech, when they got to go to Baylor, both Kansas schools. You know, the list goes on and on. TCU is a hard environment. So the Wildcats are no longer going to be going into these library-like environments where only 4,000 people are showing up. But maybe that's a good thing, because if you think about it, like, all of Arizona's road games this year, and they played well when they've had over 9,000 fans in attendance. It's those games where there's only a few thousand fans that kind of throws them off. So maybe it's good for Arizona that they're playing in a hostile environment. It makes them feel like they're at McHale Center, but those cheers aren't for you. That's for the other team, and they're booing you. So I'm really interested to see how Arizona gets adjusted to the culture that is Big 12 basketball. Should be fun, man. I'm excited for next year. But speaking of Arizona basketball, they're a part of our top headlines for today. And the Wildcats, they creep up to number 5 in the AP Top 25. They are behind UConn, Purdue, Houston, and Marquette. And also in the top 10 is number 6, Kansas. Like we just mentioned, they got killed by Texas Tech last night. Also at number 7, you got North Carolina. Number 8, Tennessee. Number 9, Duke. And number 10, Iowa. Tennessee, they also got hammered this past weekend as well.
Not the Vols.
Yep, they dropped down 2 spots. Now, looking at some other notable top 25 selections, Arizona's, I think it was their first loss of the season to FAU. The Owls are now at number 24. And honestly, man, really happy to see Indiana State in the top 25.
Indiana State.
They are number 23 in college basketball right now.
I don't even think I can name their mascot.
Could you name the most famous player to ever come out of Indiana State?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I was like, oh, come on, man. It's an easy one for all you basketball savants. Larry Bird. Larry Legend went to Indiana State. And what's funny is he was actually originally going to Indiana. And they highlighted this in the show Winning Time on Max, which focuses on the 1980s Los Angeles Lakers. But, of course, the villain, the bad guy in Winning Time is Larry Bird. And he was the bad guy in the Lakers-Celtics rivalry. And Larry was going to go to Indiana and was going to play basketball there. And then he came back home, dropped out of school. His dad passed away, and he wanted to continue playing basketball for his father. And he was invited to go to a practice at Indiana State. And this actually happened, as highlighted in the show Winning Time. Larry Bird showed up in a flannel and jeans in Converse to an Indiana State basketball practice. Didn't need shorts, didn't need a jersey, just in his street clothes, went out on the court and balled up and just dominated the court. And from that point on, Indiana State was like, we have to get Larry Bird. They get Larry Bird. They end up going to play Magic Johnson and Michigan State in the national championship and then end up losing. And then you haven't really heard from Indiana State since then. They do have a Tucson connection. A good buddy of mine, family friend of ours, the Burnett family, Brandon Burnett, he played basketball at Cienega High School. He went on to play for the Indiana State Sycamores. And they actually went to the NCAA tournament one year. But outside of that, that's the only knowledge I got on Indiana State. But so shout out to them for getting up to number 23 in the AP Top 25.
Damn straight, 22-3.
They're having a great season. I'm loving what Indiana State's doing this year. And outside of that, no Pac-12 teams. Arizona is the only team in the Conference of Champions ranked.
Whew. Oh, there's a big surprise.
But the team who received the most votes, Washington State, they received 82 votes. And Washington State, they're coming to town next week. That game against Arizona should be a lot of fun. As we talked about yesterday, this is the game that's going to put whoever is the winner in the driver's seat of the Pac-12 race. So, big game and a big week this week. You got to take care of business at home against ASU. Wildcats were supposed to do it last year, and then a prayer and a three-quarter court shot away. Man, that was insane. Yeah. Honestly, the game last year at McHale Center between ASU and Arizona with the buzzer beater, I had like an out-of-body experience. Like as soon as the guy released the shot, I just like my soul left my body and I was just like hovering over McHale Center. And it was so astonishing to see the reactions from everybody. The absolute shock and agony from Arizona basketball fans, and then just the pure joy from Bobby Hurley.
Yeah.
With his hands sky high as he possibly could. I'm surprised he didn't rip his shirt because his hands were just so high in the air and all the guys were jumping around. And I'm like, man, I know Arizona fans are pissed, but like this is kind of cool, if you ask me, as an objective college basketball reporter.
Yeah, the objective college basketball reporter who had an out-of-body experience. Per your own words.
Yeah, I mean, you got
an Arizona basketball game.
We're not robots.
Against a rival.
We're not robots. We experience the game, the passion that the fans have. But
sure.
I just look at it from both sides. I'm like, you know what? Good for Bobby Hurley. Because, listen, I will say this about Bobby Hurley. I know Arizona fans they get great joy of watching him on the sidelines lose his mind and go just absolutely wild. Him drinking his Diet Coke on the sidelines, that's his thing.
Yep.
And I know Arizona fans really don't like Bobby Hurley, but his players play hard for him. And it is so hard to recruit to ASU right now because of NIL and also the facilities. I mean, have we heard much about ASU's NIL collective and what they're doing up there? I haven't. That's why I thought, honestly, if I was ASU – and I was going through the coaching search for your football coach. I mean, if Colorado got Deion Sanders, you don't think you could have made that contact? You don't think you could have reached out to Deion and say, hey, primetime, you want to come out to Tempe/Scottsdale?
Well, he didn't have any super personal connections to the AD that he could then, you know, lean on.
What? Who?
The AD at ASU.
Who, Ray Anderson?
Yeah.
What about him?
He's got all these like inside connections to all his coaches, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, well that's the reason why Herm Edwards was hired.
Yeah.
But I mean he really had no connection to Kenny Dillingham. But I think that if they hire Deion Sanders, and the jury's still out on him, we still need to see another season of Colorado. They went from 1-11 to 4-8, so maybe this year they'll go to a bowl game and actually be really good. They actually have a really good transfer portal class. I'm really curious to see how Colorado does this upcoming year. But, I mean, if you had Deion Sanders in Scottsdale slash, I mean, Tempe, you know, you're propping up the Scottsdale lifestyle, the luxurious lifestyle. He could have brought in a ton of talent to ASU. And I think that that would bring in a lot more money. And then when you have more money coming in, especially through football, then you're able to do a lot of things with your athletic department. And the basketball arena, Desert Financial Arena, I mean, they've changed their names so many times, but yet they don't put any money into the facility. You know, you walk around the concourse, you got bathroom lights flickering. It just looks very old school. It doesn't look modernized. And when you're a high-level college basketball recruit, why would you ever consider coming to ASU? So Bobby Hurley, like every single year, his roster is just kind of put together the best way possible, and he gets the most out of his players. So you got to tip your cap to a coach like that. I've always thought that Bobby Hurley was destined for bigger and better things. But anyways, going back to the Arizona Wildcats here for top headlines, I think that Arizona right now, they're a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. And I think that the road trip that they just had, going on the road and sweeping the mountain schools for the first time since 2015, and it's not easy to play up there. Going on the road to Utah and Colorado to win one game is tough. To win both, that shows a lot of guts. And Arizona, they showed a lot of moxie in this past weekend because they went on the road and played against a Utah team that is one of the top teams in the conference. Brandon Carlson is an all Pac-12 player, a guy who's in the hunt to win Pac-12 player of the year. And you go down to triple overtime. Was it the prettiest game? And you know what? There were some cases where I thought Arizona was really going to lose that matchup. But yet they hunkered down and figured out a way to win the game. And then you go up against Colorado, and they have Cody Williams and also Tristan Da Silva both back in the lineup. They were out of the lineup when Arizona clobbered them down here in Tucson. You have both of those guys come back, and you're, what, two-point dogs on the road in Boulder. And Colorado's a really good team. And yet, you figure it out. And Arizona, I mean, they had a pretty good handle on that game, and they were able to open it up, so much so that Conrad Martinez got some minutes late in that game. And, you know, Conrad doesn't really get much playing time. There were, you know, a couple of guys who got playing time that don't normally play because Arizona had such a good handle on that game. So I think Arizona right now, with their five-game winning streak, with them finally getting their first sweep on the road in Pac-12 play, we're starting to see the Wildcats take flight here. And they're kind of hitting fifth gear, I would say. And you want to be hitting that gear when you're in mid-February going into March. You want to be able to play your best basketball going into the big dance. And, you know, Arizona basketball, we've seen them at their best at the start of the year. They had such a hot start. They went on the road and beat Duke, had some key wins, including an absolute drubbing at home against Wisconsin. They put together some impressive wins, and we've seen this team play at their best. And when they are going and when they are scoring at a high clip and when they are defending, there is no team in college basketball that could take down the Arizona Wildcats. But it's not like Arizona is neck and shoulders above everyone else. The thing about the NCAA tournament that's going to be so great this year is that there's so much parity in college basketball that you could lose at any moment in the tournament. Now, I talk about the Wildcats being essentially unbeatable where they're playing at their best, but yet I could also see this team losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And that's not just because of, you know, Arizona's inconsistency or vulnerability that we've seen at times. I just think that there are so many good teams in college basketball right now, it's going to be so hard to win in the NCAA tournament. But I think that Tommy Lloyd has emphasized that and has preached that to his team. And I think that Arizona's starting to understand we can't just go out on a court and expect to win every single game. I mean, we have to carry ourselves with confidence, but we also have to go in and establish our dominance and put our foot on their throat and figure out a way to win ball games and win them handily. And I think Arizona, they got humbled a little bit throughout the season. They got humbled against Washington State. They got humbled against Stanford. They understand, okay, even the lower teams in the Pac-12 can beat us. We have to treat every single game. We have to absolutely respect our opponent. And I feel like Arizona is now starting to get that. All right, so Arizona basketball, they will now face ASU. And I'm kind of bearing the lead here. This should be the most important headline regarding Arizona basketball. For the first time in his career, Pelle Larsen was named Pac-12 Player of the Week. Pelle Larsen was awesome this past weekend. He put up 22.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, and 5 assists. And then he shot just under 61% from the field and also 44.4% from three-point range. And, of course, he was being his usual Pelle Larsen self, taking charges, falling on the floor, gritty defender. He's been awesome this season. And, we talked about it on the show yesterday that, you know, Pella was a player, speaking of getting humbled, I mean, he had to get moved to the bench last year because he wasn't performing well as a starter. And he was okay with that and played so well off the bench. And this is a former Pac-12 Sixth Man of the Year. So you almost figured, hey, does Pelle Larsen work better coming off the bench? I even threw that out there going into the season. I'm like, maybe Tommy Lloyd should just have Pella be the official sixth man, have him be the sixth starter, but maybe have him in end-of-game lineups. I thought that that was in play for Pella. But Pella moves back into the starting lineup, and, I mean, he's been the ultimate glue guy for this team. And he just makes all the winning plays. And if you look at his stat sheet every single night, I mean, he's filling it out because he's all over the place making all the right plays. This season, Pelle Larsen putting up 13.4 points, 4.3 rebounds, and 3.5 assists. If you were to ask me, are those all Pac-12 numbers? You bet your ass it is. Totally. Pelle Larsen is an all Pac-12 player, in my opinion. Shout out to him for getting Pac-12 Player of the Week for the first time in his career. All right, another headline for today is Arizona women's basketball. They went on the road to L.A., and they lost both games. They got swept by USC and UCLA. They played USC last night. And USC, you know, one of the top teams in the country, certainly one of the top teams in the loaded Pac-12, they have a player by the name of Juju Watkins. I don't know if you've heard about her, but this is the wave of women's basketball. Women's college basketball, so fun to watch this season. Between Juju Watkins, Caitlin Clark, who is 8 points away from getting the all-time scoring record passing Kelsey Plum. There's a lot of storylines in women's basketball this season. Tara Vanderveer, arguably the greatest coach of all time at Stanford, getting the all-time wins record. So a lot of milestones, a lot of incredible things happening at the women's college basketball level. But Arizona, they're having kind of a historical season, kind of for the wrong reasons. They have 7 available players, or 8 available players, and that's the only scholarship players they have. I mean, they are just so deteriorated with injuries, and they don't have enough scholarship players. So Adia Barnes is trying. Her team, they're trying to figure out a way to win games, but it's really hard when you have just a very limited amount of players. But going back to Juju Watkins, she had 32 points against the Wildcats last night, and USC was just too much, winning 81-64. Jada Williams, the star freshman, she had 10 points for the Wildcats. And Skylar Jones, she had 13 points and 7 rebounds. And then Helena Pollo finished out the game with 8 points as well. So, tough stretch for the Arizona women's basketball team. Now, what's next for Adia Barnes and her Wildcats? Well, they dropped to 12-12 on the season, but they return home to play against the Washington schools. They got Washington State this Friday at 6 p.m. and then Washington at noon. Real quick, before we go to our first guest, which is Kathy Rice from the TMC Mega Raffle, let's do the Phoenix Suns Report presented by Arizona Family.
Arizona Family Sports brings you the Suns Report. Arizona Family Sports Channel 13.5 is your new over-the-air TV home for your Phoenix Suns. Visit azfamily.com and click Suns Games for listings. And now, the Arizona Family Sports Suns Report.
So the Phoenix Suns are fresh off their one-point loss to the Golden State Warriors the other night, losing 113 to 112. Steph Curry putting up 30 points in that matchup. Devin Booker, he also had 32 points himself. Kevin Durant finishing out the game with 24 points and 10 rebounds. And more chippiness between Draymond Green and Yusuf Nurkic. These two, this is what prompted Draymond Green to get suspended indefinitely. These two, when Draymond Green just clubbed Yusuf Nurkic in the face. It was like, what? It was a basketball play. I was going for the ball. When it was clearly you were going for his face. Yeah, clearly. Draymond Green, after the buzzer sounded off the other night when the Warriors beat the Suns, he looked over at Kevin Durant and was yelling at him, was all pissed off. Something's wrong with Draymond Green. There's just something up with him. I don't know what it is.
You're just not figuring that out?
You know, I always thought, you know, he was just uber competitive. And, you know, all professional athletes have a little craziness in them. That's what makes them who they are. But, man, Draymond Green, you were suspended for your antics, and now you're getting into a Yusuf Nurkic again. And it's like it just doesn't seem like he learns. Like, he's going to, like, therapy or anger management classes. Like, he's trying to be better, but then he goes back out on the court and acts like this again.
Are we about to see Draymond in, like, you know, like, robes and all this, like, Zen stuff, incense and oils and all this, like, leveling stuff, and then he's going to come out and still be just an absolute jerk on the court. She'll, you know, just coming out, namaste, my brothers.
Well, and that's why I feel like, namaste. Well, yeah. I feel
and
like
throwing punches.
I feel like when he's retired, he's going to be likable because he's not going to be out on the court acting like a maniac. Because when he does his podcast, he's very funny. I think Draymond Green's a very funny person. I just, I don't understand what it is about him whenever he steps on the basketball court. But for the Phoenix Suns, they're 31-22 on the season. And they got a matchup tonight against the Sacramento Kings at Footprint Center. Tip-off for that game is 8 p.m. You can watch it on TNT, or if you're driving around in Tucson, Arizona, you can listen to it right here on ESPN Tucson. Some key storylines for the Sacramento Kings, though. De'Aaron Fox not having the season that we've seen him have over the last couple years with the Sacramento Kings, still an unbelievable guard. De'Aaron Fox can go off at any point. Also, Domantas Sabonis, their star power forward, he has 30 consecutive double-doubles. He's trying to go for the record of 30 consecutive double-doubles. I think Oscar Robertson has the record currently with 29. I think Domantas Sabonis is only a few away. So look out for Domantas Sabonis to get that double-double passing Oscar Robertson. All right, before we get to our interview with Kathy Rice from TMC Mega Raffle, just want to give you guys notice that ESPN Bet is now live in Arizona, in case you didn't know. As the official sportsbook of ESPN, ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users will get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. All right, let's talk with Kathy Rice from TMC Mega Raffle. Stay tuned. I saw somewhere that since the Gatorade bath was kind of delayed, was it ruled no contest? Was it ruled no Gatorade?
I don't know.
Was it ruled no,
no
Gatorade?
No Gatorade.
No Gatorade.
The Gatorade was not immediately on the field. It was done too long after the game ended and too close to the podium. We are ruling this a no Gatorade.
Wake up with Spears and Ali. Weekday morning, 7 to 9 on 1490 AM, 94.9 HD4 ESPN Tucson. Brought to you by Tucson Federal Credit Union, the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans, and Right Way Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
Spears and Ali coming at you here on ESPN Tucson. Get ready to turn your weekdays into a winning spree with ESPN Tucson Cash Pal starting on February 20th, exactly 1 week from today. Tune in every weekday for 5 chances a day to qualify and stand a chance to win $2,024 that very day for your bills, fun, or both. Whatever you can use that money for. Details on how to qualify coming soon at ESPNTucson.com. And also, by the way, Domantas Sabonis, he did have 30 double-doubles, passing Oscar Robertson's streak with the Kings franchise record. So there's that little stat correction for you there. All right, let's talk with a very special guest, Kathy Rice from TMC Mega Raffle, hopping on with us here on Spears and Ali. Kathy, good morning to you. How's it going?
Good morning. Good to be back with all of you. It's exciting. We're getting close to the end, I have to tell you. So I'm really grateful for a chance to talk with you and your listeners this morning.
Always love talking TMC Mega Raffle with you, Kathy. And the early bird cutoff is a little over a week from today. I believe it's on Thursday, February 22nd. What should people know about the early bird cutoff?
Well, a couple things. First and foremost, I think the tickets are going to be sold out before then. And so I really encourage everyone who's listening right now that maybe hasn't yet got their ticket, that they go to tmcmegaraffle.org. Those two prizes are pretty exciting. One lucky winner is going to be heading to Norway, have the opportunity to be on the Flåm Railway all the way through, seeing the fjords. It's a spectacular trip. But the trip wasn't enough, so we've added $50,000 in cash.
That's awesome.
And early bird prize number two, some lucky winner is going to be heading to Central Europe, Vienna, Prague, Budapest, along with $50,000 in cash.
Wow.
The jackpot, I think, if people are watching the website, I think we're going to break $1 million, Justin.
Wow.
Maybe in the next day or two, and then we'll see how high it goes from there.
Because right now, I think you guys are looking at just under $950,000 for the 50-50
yep.
jackpot. Okay.
Yeah, and I think it'll break $1 million in the next couple days. I'm so grateful for all the support that all of your listeners and, frankly, all of Southern Arizona, the way they feel connected to Tucson Medical Center. But I think they just love this project.
Yeah.
It's fun. There's tons of winners, the odds, 1 in 20. There's something there for everybody, and I think it's a unique project in a time when things are a little crazy that this is just kind of a feel-good kind of thing.
Yeah. Kathy, what can you tell us about just your connection with TMC and all the good that comes from TMC?
You know what? It's one of my favorite things that I get to be able to share with people. The interesting thing about Tucson Medical Center, they were very quick when I first approached them to do this project. They wanted to make sure that all net dollars directly impacted patient care programs. They weren't going to hide it away and all the other things that make hospitals magical. But they wanted it to directly impact patient care programs. So we've been able to share with folks, and again, on the website, if you check out the hospital section, you can see firsthand where all these dollars are going. And it's every area of the hospital has been impacted in some way by these dollars. $15 million to date, and we're just getting started.
Kathy Rice from TMC Mega Raffle joining Spears and Ali on ESPN Tucson. All right, Kathy. So I've always been curious, though, the vacation destinations, how do you select them? What goes into the process of picking vacations to Norway or Prague and all that?
It's me sitting with magazines going, ooh, where should we send people? It's the type of destinations that I personally think would be fun and unique. I look then for, once they get there, different little excursions that they can go on. These are not your basic trips. We just don't plop you off in a hotel somewhere.
Yeah.
I really do think it's the kind of things that make people say, wow. The other thing that I do know, our travel group, what they do is they work with the winners, too. If for some reason there's someone who wins and they just really, they can't go overseas, then we find a way to take those dollars that were allocated for the trip and plan their dream vacation with them. But I like to set the stage by enticing people with, wow, I never thought of going there.
Also, you know, there are vehicle prizes as well. What kind of vehicles exactly are we talking about?
Well, again, we've got some incredible dealers in Southern Arizona, and the guys are really quick to, when I call them and say, okay, what's new, what's hot? But we've got the new Lexus. We've got the Mercedes GLA 250, the Cadillac. I look for the type of cars, again, that are kind of new to the market. And if you notice, every single car comes with a cash prize as well, because Uncle Sam does get his part. So this way, I want those winners, when they learn that you just won a car, they're actually going to get the keys and be able to drive away. There's not a bunch of hidden other costs that they're going to be faced with. I think Oprah should have called me before she did her big deal years ago.
Oh, man. That is Kathy Rice from TMC Mega Raffle joining Spears and Ali on ESPN Tucson. Kathy, before we let you go, any other important piece of information that you want to relay to our listeners?
Well, first and foremost, I want to say thank you to everyone out there who's ever bought a ticket and is actually holding a ticket now. We couldn't do this without you all. And I wish every single listener good luck. It's exciting. And yes, the tickets are selling fast. Don't be a procrastinator and miss out like so many people tell me each year.
Yep. Go to tmcmegaraffle.org. for tickets and more information. Kathy, we appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us today.
And I appreciate all of you. Have a great day.
You too, Kathy. Thank you. Up next on Spears and Ali, let's talk college football. Let's talk college basketball with our guy, John Wilner from the Pac-12 Hotline.
So when Justin's feeling the most patriotic, he eats two steaks and drinks chocolate milk.
That's a dude meal right there, brother.
Two steaks and chocolate milk?
Yes, sir.
They don't even taste good together.
Yes, sir. You eat the steaks, and then you need something sweet for the end. You just drink some chocolate milk.
You eat two steaks dry and then pound chocolate milk.
Sure. America, brother.
No.
Wake up with Spears and Ali. Weekday mornings, 7 to 9 on 1490 AM, 94.9 HD4 ESPN Tucson. Brought to you by Tucson Federal Credit Union, the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans, and Right Way Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
Spears and Ali here on ESPN Tucson, 1490 AM, and the Spears and Ali podcast. Let's talk with the Pac-12 Hotline's very own John Wilner. John, we appreciate you for joining us. And Arizona, they've now won five consecutive games in a row. They are now back in the AP top five. And the Wildcats, you know, fresh off their road sweep against Colorado and Utah, they look like maybe they're starting to take shape just in time before, you know, the postseason gets here. What is your take on Arizona and how they've been able to perform over the last month?
I mean, with sweeping the mountain schools, that is a supreme accomplishment. You know, they're both good teams, both play well at home, and you have to deal with the altitude factor, right? I don't think either team had lost at home this season. So, you know, Arizona kind of went where no team had gone before. The biggest thing, the way I view it, you know, through the lens of the NCAA tournament, is those are two quadrant one victories for Arizona. And they're, because the Pac-12 is not any good, there aren't very many quadrant one wins available during the course of conference play. So if you're looking for a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, you got to take advantage of every quad one opportunity, and those were two more that Arizona could put on its resume. Meanwhile, the teams that Arizona is competing against to get a number one seed, they're all in better conferences. They all have more chances to get quad one wins. So Arizona, in some ways, is at a disadvantage, can't miss any chance, and they got two.
And, you know, the Wildcats, they have the weekday slate off, and then they play ASU on Saturday. ASU, that seems to be a program that, you know, no matter how good of a job Bobby Hurley does, it just seems like they kind of are who they are, and they will never be more than what they are right now. What's your take on ASU basketball and how it stands as a program?
Yeah, it's tough because it gets lost in the mass of Phoenix sports media, you know, especially such a pro sports town. And it doesn't have, you know, there's some history there, but nothing compared to Arizona. It doesn't have the community support that Arizona has. it's just, it's really tough for them to get traction. And they've got an arena that is outdated.
Yep.
That doesn't help matters. I think Bobby Hurley, if you look at how Hurley has done against the historical standard of ASU coaches, he's doing pretty well. You know, he's been in the NCAA tournament, I think, three times. And that's, you know, that's not good for an Arizona coach. You get fired three times in a decade if you're an Arizona coach going to the NCAA tournament. But for ASU, it's pretty good. It's just a really difficult job because of traction. And it'll never, you know, it will never be what Arizona is because of, you know, the elements within the environment of the Phoenix sports media market.
And, of course, you know, Arizona, they still got to get through ASU this weekend. But next week, they got Washington State at home. And Washington State, they're right there contending for a Pac-12 championship. What stands out to you when you look at the Cougars?
Well, contending for a Pac-12 championship and contending for an NCAA tournament bid, right? I mean, they are now a solid contender for that at-large pool. They just won at Oregon. That's a quad one win for the Cougars. You know, they've been the hottest team in the conference in 2024. They lost their first two games in Colorado and Utah, and since then they have just been sizzling. They're getting a lot of contributions from different guys, right? Miles Rice, one of the best scorers in the conference. You know, he missed last year, recovering from a medical issue. But they've got, you know, they got contributors that seem to kind of pop up each, different one each game. A bunch of them are new to the program. Kyle Smith has done a great job of, you know, taking all these different pieces and kind of molding them into a team. They play good defense. And when they shoot well, they're very difficult to beat.
Yeah.
I think they beat Arizona once. I think it'll be a good challenge for the Wildcats. It's not, however, you know, we just talked about the quadrant one thing. It's not a quadrant one win for Arizona at this point because you got to have a top 30 opponent for a home quadrant one win. And Washington State is somewhere around 40 in the net. And it's, so that's just another example. Here's the number two team in the Pac-12 standings, but it is not a quadrant one opportunity for Arizona. Meanwhile, you know, the Houston's, North Carolina's, Purdue's, they get to play quadrant one games at home because they have highly ranked conference opponents. Arizona does not have that luxury.
We have John Wilner from the Pac-12 Hotline joining Spears and Ali on ESPN Radio. So, John, moving over to football side of things in the Pac-12, UCLA head coach Chip Kelly accepts the offensive coordinator position at Ohio State, which I think is, I mean, very bizarre. Chip Kelly is going to a school in the Big Ten and is taking a lesser job. I just think that's very interesting. And then the Bruins hire Deshaun Foster, who is a Bruin through and through. What's your take and perception on what's going on in Westwood?
Well, college football is bananas, isn't it? And
yeah.
Even in the middle of February, you get this crazy development. So, you know, a couple quick things on Chip Kelly. Number one is he just wants to call plays. He just wants to watch film, squat down on the sideline with his play sheet, and call plays. You know, he doesn't want to deal with NIL. He doesn't want to recruit. He doesn't want to have to schmooze boosters to raise money for NIL. He just wants to call plays like he's coaching Oregon in 2010. And that's not really what being a head coach is anymore because you got to deal with NIL and the portal and all these other things. And so I think that's part of his motivation is he can now he doesn't need the money. So he can now just do what he wants to do. He's Ohio State head coach Ryan Day. You know, played for Chip Kelly at New Hampshire. So they are very close friends. And the other piece is, I'm sure Chip looked and he saw UCLA's 2024 schedule, which is brutal, right? I mean, they play Penn State on the road. They play LSU on the road. Plus they got Oregon, USC, and Washington. Brutal schedule. His roster's not great. He's probably looking at 6-6 in the Big Ten next year.
Yeah.
And then he's going to get fired. because his buyout at UCLA dropped from $8 million this winter to $4 million next winter. So he's looking down the road 11, 12 months. He's thinking, you know what, there's a pretty good chance I'm getting fired next winter. I'm getting out ahead of the posse, and I'm going to go work for my buddy, and I'm going to just call plays.
Yep. John Wilner
and,
from...
You know, the Deshaun Foster hire, right, he is a Bruin. They don't have a whole lot of money available. And, you know, and this is something that I know Arizona fans and Arizona's program went through, right? You lose your coach, you are vulnerable to having your roster get picked like a carcass on the savannah.
Yeah.
So they viewed it like, let's hire a guy who's been on our staff, right? Foster's been the running backs coach for 7-8 years. Let's promote him. He's going to keep our staff together, and that gives us the best chance of keeping our roster together and thus competing in the Big Ten next year. Because if they had gotten their roster picked apart, then they're going to the Big Ten and they're going 3-9.
That is John Wilner from the Pac-12 Hotline joining Spears and Ali on ESPN Radio for all the latest in Pac-12 coverage. Go follow John on Twitter/X today and find the Pac-12 Hotline syndicated on Tucson.com. John, we appreciate your time and happy International Pancake Day. I hope you're able to enjoy some flapjacks.
It's one of the best days of the year is Pancake Day, second only to Donut Day.
Oh, you're the best, man. Love it, John. Thank you. All right, coming up next, we have some special guests joining us in studio to talk about a Tucson gem, the Tucson Rodeo. Stay tuned.
I want to congratulate my son for acing his LSAT, top 1% in the country with his score. Really proud of him, proud daddy today. So, Xavier, great job. And his response to me was, job's not finished.
Shout out to you, Xavier. Congratulations on all your success. Looking forward to you being a better lawyer than your father.
Wake up with Spears and Ali. Weekday mornings 7 to 9 on 1490 AM 94.9 HD4 ESPN Tucson. Brought to you by Tucson Federal Credit Union, the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans, and Right Way Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
All right, first of all, RIP to the great Toby Keith.
Yes, absolutely.
Late great Toby Keith. My first concert ever, actually. All right, so we're playing country music. Man, it got me in the rodeo spirit. And I have a very special guest joining us in studio, Luis Calderon. He is the chairman, or Jose Calderon, sorry.
No,
sorry.
No.
We were just talking about the Grand Marshal. So I had the name
okay.
in my head.
That's all right.
Jose Calderon joining us here on ESPN Radio. Jose, man, it's an honor to have you in studio. Thank you for stopping by.
Oh, no. Thanks so much for you guys having me here, man. This is awesome. I love it.
So we have the rodeo parade coming up on
the 22nd.
That's the 99th Tucson Rodeo Parade. And the Grand Marshal, who is it? Tell
Louise
us about that.
Louise Thomas. She's the one that started up with the Ronald McDonald Foundation. And I tell you one thing, she has raised over $30 million in that organization.
Unbelievable.
And it's just fantastic. The parade committee did a great job on picking the Grand Marshal for this year, as they always do. It's for them, it's just a, and for all of us, it's a great honor to have any of those people riding the parade for them. Mm-hmm. And it's a good deal.
Jose, how many years have you been working with the rodeo?
Well, like we were talking a little earlier, man, I'm a little newbie out there, man. I've been out there since 2006. This is my second time running as chair, and it's just I'll tell you one thing, it's such a great feeling to be part of such a great tradition out here in Tucson. I mean, 99 years we're coming up, and we're getting ready for a 100-year anniversary next year. And to be part of it, it's just an honor. It's just it's part of our Tucson tradition here.
Yep. Are you from Tucson?
Born and raised.
Wow. What side of town did you grow up on?
On the east side of town.
Okay.
I was on the east side of town, yeah. And so born and raised here, and just proud Tucsonan.
So what was your first rodeo experience?
Well, you know, I just kind of started a little bit late, and I've always loved the rodeo, of course, you know, because Tucson, coming to the Tucson Rodeo. And then I myself, started in the mid-80s, started doing a little bit of rodeo myself, and found out I was had more hospital bills than I did earnings. So, but it was such a great rush, you know. I worked on some ranches and everything else, but I'll tell you one thing, it was an experience I've had, and once I felt I was getting too old to do that lifestyle right there, I always wanted to be part of this committee, and just happened to walk in and talk to the right person, and they got me on, and ever since then, I've been hooked. And I remember my first year as a volunteer, after I got done with that first year, I told myself, one day, I just want to be in charge of this thing here, and here we are, and it's just been a great honor doing this.
So, I mean, being the chair for the last couple of years, you've accomplished that goal, you've accomplished that dream, you're experiencing it. So what would you say what life is like for Jose just being able to experience this.
You know, I didn't realize how big the Tucson Rodeo was here, you know, and what and how many people just love it so much. And, you know, wherever I go, you know, people just come up to me, and it feels odd because I'm just an average Joe. I mean, I'm really just an average guy. So when they come up to me and approach me and they hear I'm part of the rodeo, I love the look they have in their face, and they love it. They're excited about it. And so it's just an honor doing it. And like I said, there's been about 24 past chairmen throughout the history of the rodeo. And so for being such a small group, being part of that group right there, it's an honor.
Do you get like a special jacket or anything goes along with it?
We get some pretty nice buckles out there. You know,
okay.
I've got a series of buckles up there for each level that we've gotten into it. So, you know, I display them at home, and I'm very proud of them because, you know, it takes a lot of work to do this. And when it's all together, we have about 500 volunteers working out there to help out. That includes our committee, of course. But it takes a lot of work, and it's a year-round deal for a good group of us, I should say. It's year-round. It doesn't get started in January and February. We're out there hitting it hard. Right after this rodeo, we got to get going for the next one. Mm. So it's a project.
Anything new for this year's rodeo?
We got something pretty cool this year. On the first Sunday, which is actually Chicks and Chaps Day, which is Tough Enough to Wear Pink. It's breast awareness for cancer, of course. We've been doing that for over 10 years supporting that at the Tucson Rodeo. And then this year, we got the entire University of Arizona football team coming out, and we're going to bring them into the arena. We're going to bring the coaches out in a wagon. I'm going to present the coach a nice brand-new cowboy hat and give him a great shout-out for a fantastic season. And then, of course, the Alamo Bowl. So we're excited about that. And what makes it even – I'm excited about this is, you know, I just want people to know we want to reach out to a lot more into the community to bring it into our own backyard.
Yeah.
You know, we're a rodeo. I'm very proud of it. There's over 700 PRC rodeos in the country, and we're in the top 25.
Wow.
So we're big. But we also want to share this moment with other great things that go on in Tucson. So we're going in the right direction in that. So we're excited about that.
I saw the Arizona football team. They got fitted for cowboy hats.
They did.
Last week.
They did. They were getting all fitted and everything else. They're going to come out with their jersey. They're going to wear a pink scarf for Tough Enough to Wear Pink. And they're going to walk in, and I'm excited about it. And I tell you one thing. We got the best weather. Now I saw the weather. It's like 74 degrees.
Sunny. Oh, man.
Can you imagine that? So it's just going to be fantastic. So I tell people, come that first weekend and come see that, support the U of A.
Mm. And, you know, the rodeo is two weekends. You know, a lot of people, they come out for the second weekend. Is that pretty much the busiest weekend, would you say?
But the first weekend, you know, Tucson, you got to hit it when the weather's right. You don't know
That's
what's going to happen next week. And I'll tell you right now. So Tucson, because we are outdoor rodeo, most people look outside their door, and if it looks like it's going to be kind of iffy, they turn away sometimes. But because the weather's going to be so good, this weekend's going to be good. But it is the same performance it is in the last weekend. So it's the same thing. We've just extended it because we got so big. And it used to be 4 days. Now we're a six-day rodeo course.
Real quick, what should people know about the Tucson Rodeo? Because, you know, for a lot of people growing up here in Tucson, it's like, whenever the rodeo comes, that means we get 2 days off from school. What should people know about the rodeo?
It, you know, this is what Tucson was all about back in the day. That's what it was, that lifestyle. You know, you got Mexico right down south, of course, the vaqueros. That's why we call the Fiesta de Vaqueros. And then the American cowboy. And then also a lot of the Native American, too. It was the lifestyle back then. And all we're trying to do is provide an entertainment, an event. And what I love about it is I think every child, every young boy and girl at one time always wanted to be a cowboy at one time or cowgirl.
Yeah.
And what it does, even when we get to our older age, just the child comes out of us sometimes. People get excited about the rodeo. And it's just for one day they get to become cowboy and or cowgirl. And so we keep that tradition going. We keep it as authentic. We haven't changed it much, and we try to provide a little bit of entertainment in between here and there because you got to kind of adjust it for the younger generation too. But we want to keep it true to what it is. It is an event of what Tucson really was, it's for a lot of people, a lot of snowbirds and people that come from all over the world. It's a big experience for them. People get excited just seeing the saguaro cactus for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come out to the rodeo, to them it's like what an experience this is because these are true athletes.
Yeah.
These guys and gals are athletes, and they're unbelievably fit for this event because it is a tough event right there.
Right.
And
yeah. It should be fun, man. We're going to be giving away some tickets for the Tucson Rodeo in hour number two of Spears and Ali. Jose Calderon, chairman of the Tucson Rodeo. We appreciate you, Jose. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, guys, for everything. Appreciate it.
Hour number two, Spears and Ali. Stick around. You don't want to miss it. We're talking Arizona football and Arizona basketball. Do you want Spears and Ali unchained, unfiltered, uncensored? If you like the live show on ESPN Tucson, 1490 AM, 94.9 HD, Channel 4, and the ESPN Tucson mobile app, then you'll love Spears and Ali Overtime, where we discuss sports, culture, movies.
And enough with the gratuitous cussing, Justin. I mean, you don't have to always use words like and go yourself.
It's Spears and Ali Overtime. Subscribe, rate, and comment on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.